5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. It is the Friday before Memorial Day. Yes, a long weekend for most of us. And again, again, and again, I'm going to say it. While we will be out enjoying certain parts of it, right? We're going to have a day off on Monday, most of us. We're perhaps going to be visiting the neighborhood pool or going to the beach or firing up the grill for the first time officially. Please take a moment. Remember what Memorial Day is really all about. Why we get the opportunity to enjoy that extra time, why we are able to go and travel freely and enjoy life. It is because of the sacrifices, absolutely because of the sacrifices that so many have made. They have paid the ultimate price. That's what Memorial Day is all about. Your day at the beach brought to you by their day at the beach. Think D-Day. Monday, at the Virginia War Memorial, I'm hoping you'll take some time out of your day and come by, because in addition to the big Memorial Day ceremony that happens, I think it's 11 in the morning, after that, there are a number of us who will be reading every name, every one of the 12,000 names on the Shrine of Memory down there. Those big walls with the names, each of us have been assigned a chunk of them. And we begin right around noon-ish. I'm one of the first, I know that. And it will continue probably till about 1 o'clock in the morning. But it will continue, that I assure you. Tony Pham is somebody I've said it before, and if he's embarrassed, tough, because I've said it to him as well as about him. He personifies, in my opinion, the entire American dream. Somebody whose family came here, welcomed by America. They worked so doggone hard and sacrificed so much, and they have given so much back. Tony has given so much back to this country. Now he is up in D.C. yet again working for President Trump. I'm not exactly sure what the role is now. So let me bring Tony into this, and he can explain all of it. Tony, thank you for being here, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you and your listeners, especially before the Memorial Day holiday on Monday. And, you know, it's a quote significance in my life, recognizing that up to 58,000 U.S. military personnel died in the war in Vietnam, and this being the 50th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, marking the end of the war, formal end of the war. But this Memorial Day really hits home, recognizing the sacrifices that those soldiers paid the ultimate price for. So if there are listeners here who lost a father, son, husband, uncle, cousin in the Vietnam War, I just wanted them to know that I'm thinking of them and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be in this country.
Beautiful sentiment. Not the least bit surprised that you voice that as you always do. Tony, I talk about your service. I talk about all that you have given back to this country. You're once again up in Washington, D.C., serving President Trump. What is the role these days?
Jeff, you know, it was a privilege when I first received the presidential appointment back in 2020 as the chief immigration lawyer for the United States and then subsequently the acting director. But second time around is always the charm, they say, right? And so I was very fortunate and grateful and humbled to have been selected as the assistant secretary for border security and immigration policy at main headquarters at DHS at the time. So that was a remarkable experience, you know, looking at it from a larger scale policy related position, especially during the beachhead days, as we call it, day one operations. It was a tremendous amount of investment and time. The president and his team at the White House, as you saw, their cadence was unmatched. It was fantastic, it's fantastic. First time, and I thought I had it figured out, but man, I loved it because they were hammering home pragmatic border security policies that we saw. When you look at them all in tandem with each other, not as a singular executive order, But when you had the ability to actually throw them up on the war room and actually take a look at exactly how the master plan was looking, it was masterful, Jeff. Being able to be a part of that is fantastic. Having shut down the border as of May, border crossings compared to 2021 to 2024 under the previous president, a significant drop, well north of the 95% drop in illegal border crossings. And what that results in, it isn't just the apprehension and lowering the apprehension of total numbers at the border, but it's also saving the lives of the migrants that are going to risk their lives traversing through the Darien Gap, but also dying in the deserts trying to sneak into the United States, and also save the lives of the children and the women that were going to be trafficked through the forced labor or the sex trafficking rings that the cartels had dominated for so long for the last 4 years. Those were the targets that the president had put out there for his policy team to put together action plans. So as the assistant secretary, it was a fantastic experience in looking at all three spaces, right? CIS, CBP, and ICE for the interior enforcement side. I'll leave it at that. Again, just very fortunate, very grateful to come to this country as an immigrant at 75, and 50 years later, here I am, being able to thank your listeners, for their faith and trust in my abilities to do the job.
I am, as always, blown away by what you have done, what you are doing. With this focus, as you say, some of it now on the interior enforcement, does that mean that we now once again have control of our borders? Because for 4 years, it sure seemed like the out of office sign was posted there and everything was open.
Yeah, just some of the things that I discovered while working and having access to, right? Most of the people in the general public, they don't realize the information that you get once you assume the seat that a predecessor had under the previous administration. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to spend some time talking about the past, Jeff, but I think it should anger, it would anger a lot of listeners who may not be, dedicated Democrats, right, who are going to march in line with Biden. But to see some of the policies they put in place knowing that it was going to compromise our national security because of intentional non-vetting of high-risk individuals simply by letting them use the CBP One app and then giving them a ticket and then flying them into the United States. These are things that we learned when we were uncovering and peeling the onion back after 15-hour workdays up there that was occurring. So, yes, you'll see an enhanced interior footprint, but that's what happens when the previous administration floods the market space with 10 million undocumented aliens. I'm going to use the term that is actually in the Immigration Nationality Act, right? I'm not a feel-good kind of, I'm saying they're aliens who are here illegally.
That's right.
The phrase is you have to choke off the supply, which is secure the border, so you can get control of it. And we do have operational control of it. We wrested it from the criminal cartels. We designated them foreign terror organizations for a specific reason for potential action. And that was by design to protect the national security of this nation and protect the individuals who would be preyed upon by these criminal cartels. But once the supply is choked off, Jeff, and I don't mean to talk you to death, we can now focus on enforcement in the interior, and you'll see pragmatically all hands on deck, FBI, DEA, throw me some ATF agents out there, right? CBPs out there. We have to go find these individuals that we know through our intel briefings and looking at the heat map are criminal aliens that are going to create substantial risk of harm. I mean, just 5 days ago, we had a report of five Honduran migrants, juveniles who were here and let in illegally, shot and robbed and killed a mother of two in South Carolina. Mm. I mean, there's still some interior cleanup that has to happen. And then I just hope that when that interior we get it under control to the best we can. We're never going to be, we could be in this game for five terms.
Right.
Previous administration let in so many people, and you've seen the activist courts now begin to issue nationwide injunctions trying to slow down the pace of removals. We could be here for five terms, and we still may never reach touching the 10 million individuals, right? But but that will not deter the department. That will not deter the administration, because, you know, this is what the American people voted for an administration to take it seriously, to get a handle on it. Yep. And most importantly, protect our national security and public safety. I weep, and I do weep for that mother of two, because now we have two children who are going to grow up without their mother when this senseless crime could have been prevented. I tell people all the time, immigration enforcement against criminal aliens is actually crime prevention, right?
That's right.
You know, you get individuals, like for these sanctuary cities and these sanctuary jails, who refuse to turn over criminal aliens to ICE. They've already proven twice now that they're here, they'll commit crimes. One, it's criminal to enter the United States. It's punishable, okay, as a crime. Two, while they were here, they committed a crime and got arrested by local law enforcement and got thrown in jail, and all ICE is trying to do is pick them up and remove them.
Yep.
And so we can prevent future crime. Quite honestly, that's how I look at it. And I'm a former prosecutor and jailer, and I see it. I've been in the system for a long time, and I love the equities and authorities that the IMA provided, Congress provided, ICE under Title VIII. So it's not just ICE, forgive me. Title VIII authority goes with the FBI agents as well, Homeland Security officers. You can deputize people under 287G. Jeff, you know the drill. We can deputize local sheriffs, sheriff's deputies go out there and enforce immigration law under the supervision of ICE, which I think is fantastic.
I do as well. Assistant Secretary Tony Pham, I am grateful to you as always. I am proud of you as always. And you will see the president long before I do. So please, you let him know that the people of Central Virginia are very much on his side. God bless you, my friend. That is Tony Pham, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.